Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
But isn't it funny that when they have a problem that their church can't handle, they always call the Spirit-filled folks. They always call those that have embraced the Holy Spirit, and that we believe that not only when we lay our hands on the sick, they will recover, but the Bible says you have authority to cast out every evil spirit. We are that church. We want those that are demon-possessed. I'm like Bishop Jakes, what we can't cast out, we will incarcerate. But I believe we can cast them out. I believe you can cast them out. I believe we as a church, as a body of believers, I believe it is our responsibility not to let somebody who is demon oppressed or possessed to come in here, that we do not give them, not only give them Jesus, but when we see that, listen, there's a lot of demon possessed people that the demon doesn't want them to get free. And so sometimes we have to use discernment in the spirit to say they've got an evil spirit, and whether they ask for it or not, we're going to cast that evil spirit out. So tongues, speaking in tongues makes everybody feel a little weird, makes everybody feel a little different. If somebody was to prove that, right now, people, even some of us that are filled with the Holy Ghost, because you brought a friend that's not filled with the Holy Ghost, and you're saying on the way here, I hope Pastor Brandon doesn't speak in tongues. I hope he doesn't talk about abortion. I hope he doesn't talk about trans. I hope he doesn't talk about homosexuality. I hope he doesn't talk about shacking up with people. I hope he doesn't talk about drinking. You had all of this list, and I just talked about all of it and made you and your friend very uncomfortable. But it's not me that made you uncomfortable. It's the spirit that convicts that made you uncomfortable. And I am here to encourage you that we are the church that is going to bring transformation not only to thousands of people's lives until Jesus comes, but we are set here on a freeway as a beacon of light to everybody. When they roll by this church, believe me, they're saying, oh, that's that holy roller church. That's that super fanatical church. We are that church, and we are not the disciples like Paul found. We heard about the Holy Ghost, and then we said, what do we need to do to get that Holy Ghost? Because if it's the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, I want that power working in my life, in my mind, in my body, in my marriage, in my children, in my church, on my job, in my money, in my ministry, everything connected to me. I know I'm talking fast. I'm sorry. I got a lot to say. Last sessions we covered, I'll cover this very quickly. There's a difference between the spirit being in you and on you. There's a lot of us that come to a great church like this, and we get all caught up in the worship, and the spirit has residual splashover effect, and the spirit comes on us. Samson had the spirit on him, and he was able to do great things. The problem with the spirit resting on you is the spirit comes off of you. And Samson, the Bible says, did not even realize when the spirit was no longer on him. That's why I don't want the spirit on me. I want the spirit in me, praise God. John 7, Jesus said, he that believes on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly, out of his belly, out of the body shall flow rivers of living water. What is internally believed will eventually be externally expressed. You can't say you believe in the power of the Holy Spirit and never have a byproduct or production of the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is on you, sick people are going to get healed. Bound people are going to get delivered. People that are confused are going to have an epiphany, a Damascus Road moment that God transforms their mind. Why? Because the Spirit is flowing out of us. That's why we can't damn the Spirit when we go back to work or school or leave this building. If you're going to let it flow on Sunday, baby, you got to let it flow Monday through Saturday. The Holy Spirit gives us power. Remember my saying, they say, do you need the Holy Ghost to go to heaven? You need the Holy Ghost to go to Walmart. You need the Holy Ghost to go get your driver's license renewed. You need the Holy Ghost if you live in a subdivision that has an HOA. I mean, when I lived in that subdivision with the HOA, I had to pray through every week, y'all. Mr. Fender, we can see your trash cans from the street. Mr. Fender, your truck hitch is sticking out in the sidewalk. Mr. Fender, your yard needs to be cut. Mr. Fender, all of that I had to pray through every time. because the old Brandon wanted to come back, but the Holy Ghost wouldn't let the old Brandon back. The Holy Ghost said, no, we're not going to act that way. The Holy Spirit gives power. Remember, tongues, speaking in tongues is the evidence of the Spirit, but not the purpose of the Spirit. The first purpose of the Spirit, the Bible says, when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you shall have power. Do you have to have the Holy Ghost to go to heaven? You don't have to have the Holy Ghost to go to heaven, but there's some of us that need the Holy Ghost to get to heaven. You don't have to get saved every Sunday if you stay saved. Praise God. The Holy Spirit teaches and reminds. The Holy Spirit translates to the Greek word, just going over the last few weeks, parakletos, which is helper, advocate, and counselor. Can I encourage you before you weigh in, or let Oprah or Dr. Phil weigh in, before you let one of these other gurus weigh in on what you should do with your life, your marriage, your future, your children, your family, let the Holy Spirit guide. Let the Holy Spirit teach. Let the Holy Spirit counsel you, which begs the question, who is counseling you? Because I believe if we spend more time with the Holy Spirit and we let the Holy Spirit talk back to us, that it is going to tell us what to do, when to do it, and where to do it. Next, the Holy Spirit convicts, and it never condemns. Condemnation is you are wrong and you cannot get right. Remember this, the enemy loves to condemn every day of our lives, bringing up our past, bringing up our weaknesses, bringing up the liabilities in our life. But I am here to tell you, once you got saved, all of that, praise God, has been put under the blood. You are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. But realize that with the newness of God, that the enemy doesn't just quit. Sometimes he comes after you harder, and he is condemning you. Condemnation's purpose is to move you further away from God, or to keep you where you are now. But conviction says you're wrong, but you can get right, and here's how you do it. Conviction's purpose is to move you closer to Christ. And this is where we left off last session. The Holy Spirit is the source of revelation, wisdom, and power. Revelation is an amazing thing. I had a young man that is sitting here today that Insta messaged me last night, and he said, Pastor Brandon, he grew up in our youth group. He's been here for probably 13 or 14 years. He said, Pastor Brandon, something you spoke in a men's class in 2015, he said, I wrote it down. I did not understand it then, but I was going back through my notes, and since I am a man now, and I'm getting ready to get married, and I have matured in my faith, he said, what I wrote down in 2015, he said, it jumped off the page, and it has a brand new meaning. I now understand what it means. What really happened is this young man matured in the things of God, and the Spirit of God is telling him and teaching him and giving him revelation that has changed and will change his forever. Can I encourage you? Ask God for revelation when you open the Word of God. Ask God for revelation when you pray. Ask God for a deposit or a download from the throne room into your heart and into your spirit. I love wisdom, wisdom and knowledge. And God kind of gave me this definition many years ago. Knowledge is what to do. Wisdom is knowing what to do, but rather when to do it, where to do it, and how to do it. I know some really smart, stupid people. I've been guilty of that. Intelligent but dumb. Anybody know somebody like that? Anybody sitting next? No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. We don't want to fight. But there's a lot of us that have, listen to this, knowledge of God, but we don't have God's wisdom. We know what God's word says, but we don't know how to apply that word to our situation and what we're going through. Can I encourage you with this, church? Everything you hear preached from this pulpit, my prayer, and everything that I know you are reading daily in the word of God, it is not for someone else. I don't want us to ever be sitting here saying, this is a good sermon. So-and-so really needs to hear this sermon. No, you need to hear this sermon. I need to hear this sermon. More than hearing it, that's the collection of knowledge. But now we have to have wisdom to put it to use in our life. And if we don't know how to put it to use, then we need to talk to God. God, this is the word I heard. This is what you've been bringing into my memory, into my spirit. But God, I need to know wisdom on how to use that. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, the New Living Translation. Asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom. So there is wisdom, and then there is spiritual wisdom and insight. And why does he give us spiritual wisdom and insight? So that you and I might grow in the knowledge of God. Meaning this, church, without the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit that we're talking about, since you believe, receiving the Holy Spirit, there is some of God that we will never know outside of his Spirit. We have to be in his Spirit to get this knowledge of God. That is why you've got believers in this room today, just like the young man that messaged me last night and the one that's holding the microphone today, that I can tell you I am a lot different at 41 than I was at 31 and then I was at 21. Why? Because I've allowed the Spirit to develop me, mature me, and show me things about God that I have never known and I would never know unless I was led of the Spirit. So be led of the Spirit, church. Allow the Spirit to help you grow. Verse 18, I pray your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope. Man, I love what Paul is saying here. He said, my prayer is that the Spirit of God would flood and illuminate with light so that you can understand the confident hope. I pray that you would read the Word of God, asking for divine revelation that you've never seen, but let us never miss the simplicity of the gospel. The Bible says that the gospel is so simple, even a wayfaring, even someone who's not really looking for it can find it. Listen to what he says. He said, my prayer is that the Spirit would flood light to illuminate the confident hope. People that are hopeless, it's not that hope is not there. It's that it is not illuminated so they can see it. The Spirit, the Bible says, illuminates with light the confident hope that has been given to us by God. I want to encourage those of you today that hope has been fading, hope has been waning. Last year, it was get your hopes up. This year, it is keep your hopes up. We want every time you get on social media, every time that you come to this place, every time that you listen to our podcast, we want there to be a confident hope. We want this worship team to illuminate the hope that is Jesus Christ. We want every team and every ministry to illuminate the hope that is Jesus Christ. We want our parking and greeters to illuminate the hope that is Jesus Christ. The head of our parking is sitting right here on the front row, Brother Kevin Green, and we're getting ready to take our outside parking and greeters. We just finished the parking lot. We're about to take it to the next level. But if you talk to Brother Kevin Green for more than 15 seconds, he is illuminating the goodness of God. He is illuminating. When you see him, oh, it's going to be a great service. That might be the sermon somebody needed to hear out in parking lot spot 4, that they received something from him out there that they might not receive from me in here. I am here to declare that there is the hope of glory that is Jesus Christ, and it is our job as believers, our job as the church, our job as the Big C Church to illuminate Jesus. But the problem is we love to illuminate ourselves and talk about everything we're doing for Jesus and not put all of that light on him. I don't care who gets the glory. I don't care who does the job as long as God gets the glory. Praise God. Let me go on just a little bit more. Verse 19, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. It is the same mighty power. He writes this again to the Romans, but here he says it to the Ephesians. It is the same power that raised Christ from the dead. I don't know how to make it more simple, church, that the resurrection power that brought a dead body that had been dead for 3 days back to life is the same Holy Spirit that we're talking about embracing and filling our lives. If it can raise a dead man's body after 72 hours, it can heal your marriage. It can launch your ministry. It can fix your money. It can create so many things in, for, and with you than you could ever believe. But you've got to understand that Spirit brings great revelation and wisdom and power, and then it is up to us to do something great with it. Let's go further. Here's the next thing the Holy Spirit does. Remember, the evidence is tongues, but here's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. It guides believers to all truth. Somebody say all truth. Remember that over half of our nation says that they are Christians. Half. Half of the people at Walmart say they're Christians. Half of the people at your job identify as a Christian. I have no doubt that as a Christian, they don't believe in Jesus. My doubt is that they've not been guided into all truth. And the Holy Spirit, that's what it does. It guides us into all truth and knowledge of not what is now, but what is to come. There's a lot of confused believers out there who have embraced false doctrine and mixed personal beliefs in with the truth of God's word. Remember this, any time that you combine something with God's word, you have now made it of no effect and you have robbed it of its power. That's why there is no such thing as a white Christian, a black Christian, a brown Christian, a red Christian. There's no such thing as a woke Christian, a Republican Christian, a Democrat Christian. There is no such thing as a homosexual Christian or a straight Christian. The moment you put an adjective with the word Christian, you have robbed it of its meaning. I am simply a Christian. Because to put an adjective with it, an adjective is a modifier. And when you try to modify Christianity to fit your speech and your way of life, you have dumbed it down and it is no longer effect. I am here to tell you, we are just Christians. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I don't care how old you are. I don't care what color you are. If you say you are a Christian, I'm believing you are a full gospel Christian. Believing it all the truth. Guide me into all truth. People tell me every year, Pastor, I came to Jesus, but it was 6 months later when I found out that this part of my lifestyle wasn't going to work if I was going to be a Christian, so I stopped doing that. What are we talking about? We're talking about someone who really met Jesus, and the Holy Spirit for 6 months guided them step by step in saying, you can't talk like that and be a follower of Jesus. You can't walk like that and be a follower of Jesus. You can't put that in your up your nose and be a follower of Jesus. The church doesn't make the rules. Pastors don't make the rules. I'm sorry if you grew up in a denomination where they told you, you couldn't do this, you can do this, you had to do this. My parents grew up in a denomination. Women couldn't wear pants. Women couldn't cut their hair or wear makeup. Thank God for makeup. Praise God. But I'm here to tell you, it is not our job to fix the outside you. It is our job to introduce the Jesus to you, and Jesus will clean you from the inside out. I am here to tell you, Living Way is that church. You're going to see people come in here dressed a certain way, and you say, well, they need to cover up. No, first we need to clean them up from the inside out. Let's give them Jesus. Let's not kick them to the curb before they've had a chance to find out about Jesus. And let the Holy Ghost do its work. I'm big on this grace and space. God gave me grace. The church gave me space, for the most part, to grow up, to mature. I want to encourage you in the room today, when people come off the streets, when people come in here with problems, when people come in here smelling a certain way, looking a certain way, when the trans community comes in here, we want to love them. We want to give them Jesus. Listen, and it's not just the trans community. How about the religious folk who look the part on the outside but are just as dirty on the inside? We want to give them God's grace, but we want to offer them space. You
can sit here, you can worship here, as long as you are not a problem and creating a scene. This is your church. I'm going to give you Jesus, and then I want to let the Holy Spirit do its work.